it's recording. Anyway, I was going to talk about a theme, which is often we come into practice with mistaken ideas of what we're trying to do and accomplish. And one of the main ones we do is we think we can control a lot of things that we will never be able to control. For instance, we will never control what feelings we experience. We can control our reaction to them, but we often mistakenly think, I shouldn't be bothered by this. I shouldn't be upset. I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't be worried. I shouldn't have a lot of what's coming up. And sometimes people will say, how do I get rid of this? And a lot of Buddhist practice is actually, we're not getting rid of things. We're learning just to see them and learning we don't have to get attached to them. Meaning we can just see, wow, this is worry. This is fear. And actually, because we're conscious, sentient beings, we're always going to experience these things because they're the way we interact with the world is these feelings. You know, it's like somebody, like, I don't want to be bothered by things, but actually it's the nature of consciousness that things will come up that bother you, and it's appropriate to be bothered. For instance, if I see somebody really being angry and upset with someone else and seeing the other person's getting really hurt, it bothers me. You know, it hurts. And that actually isn't anything, it's just the nature. Just like if I see, like I was just watching this little kid just having so much fun and it just feels good. You know, it's like, I was thinking, wow, this unremitting joy. You know, you're watching, you know, it feels good, like a lot of things feel good. Somebody gets good news, it feels good. Somebody gets bad news, it feels bad. Somebody comes up with a difficult medical condition and you're worried and concerned and afraid for them because you know how hard it is going to be for them. Now, the point of Buddhist practice isn't, and meditation isn't, we're trying to control this or not have it. It's the learning that it's just stuff passing through us, and you don't have to get caught up and make a problem out of it or dwell on it or give ourselves the wrong view of it, like this shouldn't be happening or how could this be happening or what's going on, and just understand this is the nature of it and just how do we respond and realize, you know, it's the nature of things that there's going to be all these problems, and we can realize we can find a place that can accept that and just get wisdom from it and just say, oh, this is the way people make mistakes, and have compassion for it. This is the way the world is. This person, you know, may have a hard time with this and feel compassion for them, but also not realize we have to let go of the worry and the fear and the anxiety about it. You know, because a lot of what we're trying to do is learn to be at peace with the way things are than trying to have things the way that we want them to be. And that includes our feelings. You know, like in meditation, somebody was telling me, you know, God, they're finding something really confusing. And I said, it's fine for things to be confusing. As long as you live, you're going to be confused at times because you're not going to understand things. So there's no problem in being confused because it's just accepting reality that you often don't know what's going on. You know, like somebody saying, I don't know what to do. Well, actually, unless you're really deeply deluded, you often don't know what to do. Like, what should I say to this person? What's the right response? And if you think about it, you often don't know what the right, you know, you just try something. Make the best choice, and sometimes I'll make the best choice and start talking and realize, okay, that was the wrong choice. And hopefully be open to the fact that I didn't make the right response, and hopefully I can be sensitive enough to start pulling back and kind of, sort of like, it's almost like a computer, Kinray reboot. You know, this isn't working. And part of life is just that we're sensitive and we're affected by everything. You know, an illusion is like, oh, I shouldn't be bothered by this. Well, actually, part of life is we're both getting positive and negative stimulus and having responses to everything. Somebody gets upset with me, I feel it. Somebody has a positive response to me, I feel it. You know, I get a praise, I feel it. Blame, I feel it. And we're supposed to feel it because that's how we interact with reality. You know, that's what we're doing all the time. So it's not like wrong that I feel it. But we don't have to get caught up in the feelings or spin like, wow, that shouldn't have happened, or there's something going wrong here. And just accept, oh, this feels lousy, but it's just a feeling and it'll pass. You know, just like sometimes when I make a mistake and do something that I didn't want to do and it caused problems or something. You know, just like recently, I just completely lost track of, I got the date wrong for something and I caused a fair amount of inconvenience in the way I don't usually want to do, which is completely miss something I should have done. And I could say, well, I don't usually do that, which I don't usually do it. I can't recall doing it, but I did it in this case. And I just realized, God, this is good. This makes me feel really crummy. And I would just think about it. I can think about it now. It makes me feel crummy because, you know, I should have been somewhere and I just got the date, got it wrong, you know. So I didn't show up for something I was supposed to do. But on the other hand, that's fine. That's just the nature of reality. And it's not wrong that I feel bad that I disappointed somebody. But to get caught up and then to judge myself or kind of feel like something is wrong here, just, I made a mistake. I can learn something from it. I can, you know, when things like that come up in the future, I can take more precautions to make sure I don't make that mistake again. But on the other hand, just feeling bad about something is just nature. I can think of mistakes I've made in the past, and whenever I think about it, I feel bad. And there's other ones that whenever I think about it, it feels good until I think about it too much and it stops feeling good because I've kind of drained all the goodness out of it. You know, it's like there's a limit to how much you can think about something positive and have it mean anything. You know, like... And that's it, to notice things and just to be able to reflect on them without either grasping it and thinking, how do I keep this, or wow, this feels good, or I want this, but just to accept that things have an effect upon us, but in the end they're not a big deal, they're not the important thing. You know, it's just changing feelings. Wow, you know, this feels good, and it'll be like, you know, in a short time it'll all be like a dream, like all my mistakes, you know, it looks back and so what. People really like this, so what? People didn't like this, so what? You know, it's not like you can keep living on it. But you can find a place in our hearts that realizes that we're trying to realize that we don't have to be... We're affected, but not in our core. You know, it's just a feeling that comes up. Just like you can make a mistake and know it's perfectly okay, but God, I didn't want to burn my dinner. You know, I didn't want to make this mistake or... back the car, like I've done that, back the car into something, and I have to remind myself, really, it's just money. You know, I didn't want to spend it on that, but I just did, and it's okay. And being our ignorance is how we take things personally and make it important. Wow, I'm a really dumb person who forgot something. Or how could I have backed the car into something? Or how could I have lost my temper? Or, you know, it's like I remember somebody doing something really hurt, dumb to some, lost their temper with the person they were living with, just a roommate, not a partner. And they did something destructive to them, their property. And they come to me and said, what should I do? And I said, well, you have to replace what you destroyed. And actually, the person's probably not going to like you anymore. And you just have to accept the hard thing is not the consequence from what you did. The hard thing is going to be, how do you not judge yourself as being a bad person for having done something that was really hurtful and stupid to someone else? And that's the hard one. Other than that, nothing really happened, and you know, but it's hard not to take it personally and think, what's wrong with me? When it's just, okay, you were overwhelmed by something. Just like if you practice, you can say, wow, I've been meditating a long time. I shouldn't be overwhelmed by things. Everybody's overwhelmed by things. It's the nature of karma. I remember reading a monk telling the person who went his teacher something like, he's finding this overwhelming. And the teacher said, you know, if you want to make spiritual progress, you have to be willing to be overwhelmed. It's not all going to be manageable. We're not going to get all our difficulties in these easy steps in life. And you won't get your difficulties in life always easy. You know, you'll think, God, this is just too much. And haven't we all been in situations where we feel like this is too much? And actually, it's not too much. It's just the way things are. If you look at it, and you just try to accept it and deal with it, it becomes just ordinary stuff that you're dealing with. But you can look at it and feel like, but this isn't reasonable. You know, it's like somebody, I remember having a number of people dying in their family, you know, a few people around them all having serious problems, and they're going, you know, like, this is completely, and they're even asking themselves, why is this happening to me? And I kind of go, actually, it's not happening to you. It's happening to all these other people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones dying. But, you know, it's not like they're dying to get you. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of it. And people, you know, people will have these problems.
Reverend Master?
Yeah.
What's the Dharma for the really old mistakes that are made through the course of our lives that we don't even remember? And then we remember, and it's more the question of what are the feelings that come up are just the feelings, and we don't have to. Are they Is it a noteworthy? A noteworthy. Whatever it is we remember, is that noteworthy? And kind of what do we do with those really old things where there might even not be somebody to apologize, or you don't even remember?
You just accept it and feel it and realize it's okay. You know, the underlying thing is to try, what we're trying to do always is to be at peace with whatever comes up. Meaning, but on the other hand, we have to peace with the difficult feelings. And let's say you have a normal one is not an unusual one, is we do have a painful memory that we've actually repressed. Mm-hmm. Like a classic one is people will, you know, some childhood trauma. Sometimes people just don't remember. They'll start at some point, they remember that, particularly with meditation. You know, sometimes you'll just remember something difficult, something you, and it hurts, and it's can sometimes feel overwhelming and all the rest. I mean, I've had people, and it's not that uncommon, they'll remember something that was very traumatic, that, you know, I've had it where, you know, like childhood sexual abuse, people actually had no memory of it. And they'll meditate and they'll remember it. And just to kind of let the feelings go through you, the same way as we're trying to do if we sit still facing the wall, and trying not to react to them, and just to be willing to feel crummy and unclean and all the rest. And just realize it's just the feeling, and there's nothing unclean. Nothing was wrong fundamentally, but it hurt. And to accept it, and to forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, to have compassion for whatever needs, to try to cultivate that it was okay. It was just a mistake, and nothing's wrong right now. It's just a memory. It's like holding on to a dream.
And the same is true whether one considers oneself the perpetrator or the victim?
Yeah, it's really the same thing. The same thing, it's easier to... The victim part is easier than the perpetrator part because we more judge ourselves. So the harder, it's almost like the case I gave of somebody doing something hurtful to someone else. It's very hard not to judge yourself when you You know, like if I did something really destructive to somebody, it would be hard for me. You know, I'd find it hard to let go of, God, how could I have done that? You know, what was I? You know, like, I can even hear a mental thing. I've been a monk for all these years. How could I, you know, this whole... But whatever it is, it is. And you realize, and there's good karmic reason for being whatever mistakes have been made, both by ourselves and others. So whenever you look at someone else making a mistake, you know, somebody in the world doing something bad, you know, you have to just accept that there's a good karmic reason. And there usually is, just like people who, you know, if you ever just... When I've seen accounts of like people who are serial murderers, none of them ever had this happy childhood. You know, like, oh wow, pair of wonderful parents and everything was fine. But then they decided to go do these destructive things. It's not excusing them, but I'm just saying there's karmic reason that people are doing whatever they are, including ourselves. We're no different than... And a lot of it comes from trying to learn not to take things personally. Nothing is... It's like the line I like quoting from the Buddha. You know, the most direct way to find the truth is nothing is me and nothing is mine. You know, so we don't take anything personally. We just realize it's just a feeling. Part of it is it's not even my feeling. It's just a feeling. Just something passing through me. Just like my desire to eat more chocolate. In fact, I haven't had one yet, but but I will. And then I'll have to restrain the fact that another one would be nice. Even two more would be nice. And it's just a feeling, and just like if I ate a lot of chocolate, I then might get that uncomfortable feeling like, why did I do this? And it's, but again, it's just the feeling. It's like I remember somebody coming up to me and something depressing happened and they told me, I just ate a whole box of cookies. And now they're feeling awful. And I go, you know, nothing really just happened. You know, you just ate a box of cookies. Like... What difference is a week from now? Is it going to really matter that you ate a box of cookies? It just means, you know, you did something that wasn't too good, because usually you stop enjoying them at least by the middle of the box. You know, it's like you're not, you know, it's like you haven't savored every one of those cookies. Because, and it's the momentum of karma, the way we are. And part of it is, and that's the way we create the self, is by identifying with things. So in a way, we're part of like what Mary said about being perpetrator, you know, either doing what was wrong or being the victim. It's trying to, we don't have to identify. It's just hurt, just pain, just something passing through us. And it's not really us. So you can let go of it, and I'm not the child, I'm not the person, I'm not even remotely what I was when I was 7 years old and... You know, I was, or even when I was 17 years old, I can look back and realize, you know, I'm not, you know, very different person than I was, you know, where if somebody commented on, you know, my feelings would just get hurt if people make fun of, you know, I can remember being devastated by just somebody's comment or something. In fact, some of them I could remember to this day if I gave it some thought, like some high school insult that I then spent 3 hours thinking of, why couldn't I have come up with this witty comeback that would have made them feel worse than me? Nancy?
So that's why we're meditating, right? What you're saying makes a lot of sense, but it's even just catching the fact that we're even having those feelings and not being those feelings, even being conscious that it's a feeling, not just us, it's not us. And so that's the tricky part, is kind of waking up to that it's a feeling or a thought going through.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because the more we are the thought or the feeling, the more we want to control it and not have that thought or feeling. And actually, that never works. You know, it's like people think if I train a long time, some things won't bother me. I don't know anyone who isn't bothered. You know, it's not even good not to be bothered by things. You know, if something is a mess, you know, it's like I was just thinking, like an example, I remember I was at the Abbey, I was kind of, you know, in charge of the guest house. And I remember going into one of the rooms that there seemed to be some insects in, and I kind of looking around, and finally I pick up the carpet, and it was like the seething mass of life under the carpet. And I kind of remember dropping the carpet and thinking, I wish I hadn't seen that. Just this gut level feeling like, oh God, no. You know, it's like in a horror movie, you pick it up and you're going to go, like, you know. Because I had to then go and deal with it and kill all these bugs because I couldn't let the place be filled with all these bugs and find out a way to seal up the thing. But it was just like this gut level reaction, like, oh God, no. And of course, that's life, you know, just like you look at, you know, something, you hurt your, you know, something goes wrong and you look at a body part that's messed up and it's like, oh, you know, revulsion, like, oh God, no. You know, and so to sit still and just to see, you know, kind of trying to see how we identify with what's happening to us. And part of it is it's not you any more than, like, if I forget stuff, oh God, most of the time I'm good at not forgetting stuff, you know, which is me, and who cares? I mean, what difference, you know, like, you know, a few years down the road, my mind may start going and I can't remember anything, and you know what I mean? And that's okay too. You know, it'll be what it'll be. You know, it's like, you know, the fact that, you know, I won't be able to keep track of things very well is fine too. It's not the important thing. And we're trying to reflect, so we realize we're not being bound by our feelings. They're just the way things are, any more than we're being bound by these conditions we like or dislike. They'll keep changing, and we'll try to help them as much as they can, but we don't have to, they're not the important thing, in the sense we can learn to see them and realize we don't have to be them, you know, and that we won't control this thing. We'll wake up in the morning and have good feelings, bad feelings, I like this, I don't like that. I want this, I don't want that. And this is normal consciousness. It's not going to, practice isn't going to change it, but you can learn. It's almost like the image I always like using. You can be stuck in traffic and nobody says, great, my car's not moving. You know, this is what I want. But you can also then realize, that's fine. And just let go of that feeling. That'll come up probably almost, it always comes up in me. I never have it where I'm driving along and the traffic stops and I go, great. You know, I always go, oh. You know, I'll even be looking around, am I in the wrong lane? You know, doing that. And usually realizing, stupid kid, right? Just relax, just stop, just accept what it is. And deal with it. And I'm just saying that applies to all sorts of things. It's an easier one to see when you're in traffic because it's such simple karma, but it applies to, wow, this person's upset with me. Or I'm upset with me. You know, I make a mistake, I forget something, you know, I cause something to be damaged or hurt or, you know. So it's like I was fixing something and I broke it and I made it much worse, and then I felt like that wasn't very, why was I so thoughtless, you know, to you know, disassembling something and then I can't put it back together.
So Reverend Kinray, do you have these intentional internal conversations that say, stop Kinray, don't worry about that?
Oh yeah, if worry comes up, I tell myself not to, this is just worry. You know, to see it and tell myself it's fine. In fact, I tell myself, one of the things I do with worry is just try to say, if it happens, it'll be okay. You know, the same thing with fear, you know, just remind myself that whatever it is, you know, if things don't go right, if I can't deal whatever the worst is, I remind myself, it'll be okay. And that takes the charge out of it, if you can really tell yourself, oh, you know, just like I'll have a hassle. Like a practical one is, you know, you'll be hassling with something, and I realize, you know, I could just spend money and deal with this. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's like, came up the other day where I was talking about computer problems. I always know, if it gets bad enough, I could always just pay somebody to, you know, and solve my problem. You know, they're usually things that are within the realm of, or, of, you know, there's usually always a solution. It's just, or it's just me, not just how much time I want to put into it. And luckily with that type of thing, I've never really had to pay the money, but I remind myself, all it means is I'll pay somebody to deal with this, or I'll have this illness and I'll put up with it. You know, it's the world's full of things that I would be grateful just to have this illness rather than all the horrible things that are on our transfer merit board. You know, that I can kind of realize, wow, this, whatever it is, there'll be somebody up there way worse for everything. Yeah.
And I was wondering about, so you're talking about like our karma and our, you know, everyday walking around. And what about our future, where, you know, it's like loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. You know, it's like
where do we move towards those,
and do we experience all of that simultaneously?
Well, we don't control what comes up. So it's like I can't make myself feel, but I can remind myself and point myself in the direction of loving kindness, sympathetic joy, you know, what, you know, compassion, equanimity, you know, those are kind of in Buddhism the four divine mm-hmm. qualities they often emphasize. You can't make yourself, I can't make myself have equanimity, but when you let go of things, you're creating equanimity. You know, I can't make myself have loving kindness, but I can get rid of all the non-loving kindness, not act on all those other things. So it's like I never try to be, I actually probably never consciously make an effort, Kinray, be compassionate. I just try not to be uncompassionate, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I try not to, the negative, because I'm not like trying for the positive, you know, just in a sense, I'm just trying not to get in the way, and if you let go of things, that's what's there. So it's not like we have to produce those things. When we're not being, when you realize nothing is me and nothing is mine, what's left is the fact that we are connected to everything and want, you know, other beings to do well. We want ourselves to do well. We want everything to do as well as it can. You know, we realize there's no reason to be disturbed, equanimity. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not, we feel what others are feeling, compassion. We want to treat things kindly because otherwise it's, you know, it's unpleasant, you know, so it's not. So those things come up naturally if you get yourself out of the way, but you also point, you try to see if, how are your actions doing, and that's a good ground, you know, am I acting kindly? It's not that, you know, kindness is like a simple one. It's like I can't tell myself, let me love everybody, you know. But I can tell myself, because I don't even know what that means, you know, like how to do it. But I can tell myself to be kind, and that's kind of handleable, you know, manageable. You know, just, it's like the Dalai Lama, it was like when they asked, what is your religion? And he said, kindness. Because mm-hmm. that's something you can grasp. And the other things then come out, so you'd feel a deeper connection, which is love, you know, which, but on the other hand, I don't control that. It comes up naturally at times, you know. I can look at Molly and I think, that's love. Humans, it's harder for me to love, you know. You know, humans just aren't as cute. You know, they don't purr as nicely. You know.
So it's kind of like having more instead of thinking of something concrete, it's more like having an intention, and then how it expresses itself. Whatever happens, happens.
Well, Buddhism is, we're trying to have that positive, a spiritual intention is really the core of Buddhist practice. You know, you have to be trying to do something positive in your day, your life. You know, it's like, I don't think of it in those terms all the time, but, you know, just something like the Bodhisattva vows, where you're making a vow to be willing to help all beings, you know, and just remind yourself, you want to do something positive in your interaction with others, and that'll actually both help them and help you, because in a way, one of our ways of suffering is we don't feel connected, you know, even to ourselves, because we're disconnected from our own compassionate heart. When we're judging ourselves, we don't see that there's a good heart, there's actually the Buddha heart there, and actually often and much more easily accessible a good heart. Because most of us have good intentions most of the time. At least the people coming to a Buddhist temple are in touch with good intentions. Because, you know, you're people who just, most of you looked at a wall for an hour. You know, it's not like, this isn't the normal way to, let's have a good time. You know, it's like,
party.
You know, you're listening to a talk on all this. So there's a good intention that brings you here. And cultivating what are we trying to do with our lives and what has meaning in our lives. And you realize whenever, in a way, by not treating things with kindness and compassion and by judging it or rejecting it, we're actually making suffering for ourselves and others. You know, and there's a deep spiritual meaning in what we're doing. Like if we want, it's like Reverend Master Ji's line I always like, if you look with the eyes of a Buddha, you will see the heart of a Buddha. And how do we look with the eyes of a Buddha? Well, you do it by not judging what's there and trusting that there is something very positive wherever you look. You know, so, you know, you can look at people and just see the mess. You can look at yourself and just see what's wrong. Or you can cultivate the positive that there's good wherever you look. Even if they don't know it, they may be completely oblivious to it. Most people are, actually. Most people, you know, don't realize there's anything positive in them in a deeper sense. You know, they're just caught up in kind of the surface of their life and judging themselves and others and often being upset and angry about how things are, which again is a form of suffering. You know, people often don't realize it, but not being at peace with what's going on is suffering. So to have the intention, how do I convert all these non-peaceful elements in myself so I don't create suffering out of them has deep spiritual importance. You know, just like, you know, I have a... So, you know, it's... But to have a purpose in our life is actually one of those things that, you know, we want a spiritual purpose. That's why you're practicing Buddhism, is to have a spiritual purpose in what you're doing. You know, an intention in what you're doing, or else it's like there's a line when you take the Buddhist precepts, in this drifting, wandering world, it's hard to find the truth, hard to find what's real. And if you just drift and wander, which most people are just doing, a lot of people just trying to, the world's full of people just trying to get by. You know, just get by. And actually, that's pretty depressing. Because you're just getting by and then you're going to die. Which means you can't keep getting by. You get old age, you know. I actually have my brother right now who's very close to dying. And, you know, and you don't, you know, you're not going to get by, you know, but there's a deeper meaning and purpose. And, you know, if you realize the Buddha heart, you realize your real spiritual place, you're not then as bound, you won't be bound. You'll realize nothing is me and nothing is mine, and realize you're not being bound, even if things fall apart, which they will, because that's what death is. Things are going to fall apart. And we feel like something is wrong, like if somebody young dies, something is wrong, when actually, we can't come up with a reality in which young don't die. Because it's like saying you should only fall apart, you know. And truthfully, when you fall apart, I've been around people who are late in their 90s and they still feel like something's going wrong. Like, how could I be dying? It's like, well, how can you be living? You know, it's like, what are you asking for? They even know it's unreasonable, but it doesn't change the feeling because inside you're not that age. Just like all of you, age is just a number. It's not like we can say, well, it means this, but it's like I remember becoming a senior citizen and I kind of go, you know, what does that mean? You know, I don't look at myself like, oh, I'm a senior citizen. You know, in fact, when I was young, I would feel like, God, am I old now? You know, this is, you know, is there even any reason to stay alive anymore when you're that old? You know, just like but also a lot of things is, we often have the idea in our mind, if I was just a normal person, I wouldn't be having these problems. And you can add to whatever problems you are. And the funny thing is, all these normal people have problems. In fact, all of you have a very good reason why it's hard for you to practice and train. And you probably think it's unique to you. The specific one is, but everyone has it. You know, a reason why.
I have two.
You have two. Hopefully it's not the twins. Carrie had twins up 2 years.
Three in January.
They're going to be three?
Yeah. On your birthday.
On my birthday. She had twins on my birthday. So, yeah, I even thought, because it sometimes happens, Carrie, when, you know, you have twins, and I thought, maybe I'll see you in 18 years. You know, like the next time you'll have a break. You know, kind of. And there's a way often we think of practice like, you know, if I just simplify things and get rid of things, you know, I can practice or life will be easier. Almost like sensory deprivation. You know, it's like if I get rid of everything. And actually, I realize when I get rid of everything, I'm stuck with me. And that's the real problem. Not, I'll even kind of, you know, it's like in the end, it's not all the things. And it's just like seeing, just like modern life with stress. People frequently are saying how modern life full is stressful. Modern life full isn't stressful. Hell, used to be much more stressful. You know, people used to have trouble getting enough to eat. They used to be working all the time. You know, life was hard. Half their kids would die. You know, infant mortality was 50% until modern times. I think, God, being pregnant for 9 months, having a baby and half of them dying, that to me is stress. You know, modern life, wow, my phone's going all the time. That isn't... We're making stress out of that. That's a piece of cake compared to a lot of things you can go through. You know, just like people are busy and it's like in modern life and just look what you're doing, you know. I remember seeing a statistic how busy people are and how much time they spend on the internet and on their phone and all the rest. I go, where's all this? How come they don't have time? You know, where's the time going? And a lot of it, you know, just to make the point is just accepting how little we control, which as we become aware, we don't control what feelings come up. We don't control a lot of the conditions that happen to us. And it's okay. We can learn to be at peace and just do our best to with what is within our control, but not think we should be controlling everything. And that there's something wrong that I can't make myself feel this way. I can't make people around me treat me the way I want to be treated. You know, and sometimes I talk to somebody young, it's like, how do I get everyone to treat me better? Very normal young person thing, because you're so sensitive to everyone else when you're like a teenager or a young adult. And it's like, you know, so deluded. You're never going to get people. You know, you have no control over it. You know, you can't, you know, make yourself popular. You know, you can't have people like you. You'll have it, probably some will like you, some won't. You'll fit in, you won't fit in. You know, and realize it's okay, looking back at it. Why did I care so, you know, so much? But it's part of growing up that I cared so much about a lot of that stuff. And, you know, and I suffered. The normal suffering of, like, oh, you know, doing that. And the more we get hold of our deeper spiritual intention, the more we can actually free ourselves from fear. Not from having fear come up, but realizing we can let go of it and find a place that it realizes nothing to fear. And part of it, going back to what Peter said, is I tell myself nothing to fear. You know, I mean, in a way, when I confront something, part of training is, can you tell yourself the Dharma? Because if you realize, you're often telling yourself delusion. You're saying, this shouldn't be this way, but it is this way. I don't want this. Who cares? You know, a good example of very common delusion is something will happen and people will keep saying, I didn't want this. Like, so what? You know, the nature of things is almost nobody wants any bad stuff. You know, nobody's ever woken up in the morning, God, today I want cancer. Today I want to be angry. Today I want to, let me worry all day. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever wants that. But if you have it, you can learn to let go of it and be at peace with it and realize it's okay. You know, we don't have to cultivate the worry, and if we don't, it'll go away, and probably if it's due to karma, we'll keep popping back up, just like if I got cancer tomorrow, I'm sure I would have some worry and fear, and I would probably try to tell myself to keep letting go of it, and I'm sure it would keep popping up again. I can't believe it wouldn't. It would be, you know, even though sometimes I, to my amazement, do better with something than I thought. And frequently I do worse. You know, it's not, I thought, this shouldn't be a problem, and it is a problem. Or why don't I handle this better? But then other things come up, and often the more serious things I find as I train, often I handle better than I thought. You know, and that's, I think, the merit of practice. And it's true of most people I know who practice. When something serious comes up, often the practice kicks in. If it's a minor problem, you'll often get caught up in it. When it gets really bad, you realize, I better meditate. I better put all my effort into letting go and realizing it's okay to have this problem. Anyway, anybody else have anything, or any of my visiting venerable visitors?
I just remember Reverend Master G saying, the universe isn't answerable to our personal will. Yeah. That's been a very great comfort to me.
Yeah, it's a good line.
Just something that when I was very poorly a few years ago, and the very first night I was poorly, when Master Lockigan, my teacher, gave me a card, and it just said, dearest Reverend Caitlin, we are always safe with the Eternal. And just recently, and another thing that, you know, when I've found myself in a situation that I've felt I haven't known how to deal with or train with, she's always said to me with slight irritation, just do your own training. And recently I realised that they're the same thing, it's part of the same coin. We're always safe with the Eternal, and do your own training. And it's actually the same thing.
Yeah, because you have to trust that the training takes care of everything. Yeah. You know, like, well, you, like, in a way in life, it's like you have to realize all you can do is the next step, and you just make that the best step, and it'll do, everything will be fine. You're in the hands of the Buddha. You know, nothing, you know, or it's like the line of Keizan of from the Den Koroku, even in the midst of a great fire, my heart is calm and peaceful and filled with angels. You know, and because no matter what happens, you can take the next step and, you know, you're on, it'll sort itself out. And even if the body disappears, there's still a next step, you know, and a next step, because the body will disappear, but the wheel of the Dharma will keep turning. Anyway, yeah, and Caitlin, yeah, because she, you know, went through a very rough cancer. She had a bone marrow transplant, so, which is incredibly, like, one of the more, you know, you have no immune system for a while. Yeah, it's one of those things. It's, on the other hand, it's miraculous they have it nowadays. You know, it's not, you know, they didn't used to do it. It's not that long they've been doing that where, you know, you do it. So
it was also always clear to me right from the start that it was like it was to help me that I got. Sounds funny, but right from the beginning, although it was really hard, that it was to help me. I'm not saying anyway.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's why you're here.
Yeah.